everybody's done straggling in, so whenever you're ready, Mr. Recorder. Welcome to the National AA Technology Workshop 2019 presentation held in Bowling Green, Kentucky on Friday at 7:45 p.m. on the topic of communicating with members, one of the Birds of Feather series. The theme of this year's workshop is connection. All session audio is being recorded and will be made available to registered NAATW members through our website behind a login. Please help us honor our tradition of anonymity by using first names only. Anonymity breaks will be scrubbed during audio post-processing, but you can help with that process. When you hear a full name during this presentation, please write down the time and room where this occurred and share this with the taper immediately after the session. Or even better, drop this information in the workshop Slack channel. Hi, my name's Peter. I'm an alcoholic. Let's start with a moment of silence to be used as you wish. All right, thank you. So I wrote down a topic earlier today and had no idea that means that I had to get up in front of a room full of people. That was a surprise. The topic I wrote down is communicating with members. I am my area webmaster for Area 38, the eastern area of Missouri. I'm from St. Louis. I guess I've got a sobriety date, December 17th, 2017. I've got a sponsor, I've got a home group, all that fun jazz. So what happened and got me interested in this topic was at our technology meeting we had this week. We do conference calls because it's technology and we're awesome like that. One of our members had brought up that he's a district webmaster. And he is communicating, I guess, with the masses, with his district constituents, for lack of a better term, just average, everyday members that he has emails for. So he's got maybe 100 people in this email list that he communicates to, like, hey, this is what we've got coming up. These are the events in our area. Like, hey, you know, this weekend we've got a picnic, or, you know, the reminder the night before, hey, district is tomorrow at the same time and place it has been for years, but you need an email reminder to show up or else nobody does. So one of the things he was asking was, you know, that sending this out for him in Gmail, he gets a lot of bounce backs. It takes like 4 days to process correctly and send everything. Which isn't quite helpful if you're like, hey, this thing's tomorrow, and someone gets it like 3 days after the fact. So I just kind of wanted to have an open dialogue about how we can best communicate with members about what's going on and what's happening, and how we can use technology to kind of facilitate that flow of information. And I know, like, one of the things I wrote down was mass emails and Slack. Those were just some ideas. So really, this is sort of open to suggestion and discussion, because that was about all I have on this. didn't know I'd be leading it, so here I am, and I'm just going to start rambling. So I know here at NAATW, we're pretty connected, and we've had today the session on the apps, and some people have already, I've heard at dinner, some people have already put together a district app website using that. They threw it together in like half an hour, and it's got contact info, a chat function. We're also using Slack here at NAATW, which is really cool, but I don't know how that would reach, say, your average non-technical person. It seems fairly straightforward and kind of reminds me of old school AOL chat rooms, but with like more cool features. I don't know if I just dated myself there or whatnot. So I know those things exist, but I don't know how people have implemented that. Again, this kind of came up earlier this week in a call, and hey, I'm going to be here, and I might as well ask the experts. So So I could keep rambling on the fact that I don't know anything, or I could just kind of be like, hey, y'all want to help? So y'all want to help? I'm opening it up. We got the microphones. Come on up.
Hi, everybody. I'm Sharon. I'm an alcoholic.
Sure.
From the western area of Missouri.
Yeah.
For several years, our area has used email lists. They are included in our web hosting package, so there's no additional cost. Right now we have 40. We have one for each district, one for each committee, one for committee chairs, officers, DCMs, you know, on down the list. And then one master one that our secretary uses when they want to send out an email to the entire, you know, agendas, whatever's coming up. They just type in everybody, and it, in fact, distributes to the different email lists, and it cascades down. The service that we have is self-cleaning. If an email bounces X number of times and I can set the limit, then it deletes them off the list. Handwriting has, you know, trying to decipher somebody else's handwriting to enter in an email address has always been an issue. So what I did was just create a quick sign-up page, and they enter their own email address, check off the boxes of whatever list they want to be on, like their district and committee or two or three committees. They can join as many as they want or as few. And then it enters them straight into those lists. As always, to comply with the rules for email lists, down at the bottom in big red letters, it says, if you want to be removed from this email list, click here. So they automatically, instead of doing that, reply back to whoever sent it out and says, please take me off the list. So I did have to create a separate thing for our area secretary so that they can go in and do that. I don't know, people can't read big red letters. But we've used that, like I said, for several years, and it works real successfully. The districts, also in my district, I just take a tablet and put it on the sign-up page and pass it around and let new people who aren't already on it sign up. The district uses them independently. The committees use them to send out their minutes and agendas and stuff. And it's worked real good for us with very, very low maintenance and no extra cost. It's Hostek, H-O-S-T-E-K. When I started using them, they were based out of Tulsa. I don't know if they've moved or not, but the only time I've ever had any downtime with them was when the tornado went through Tulsa and kind of ripped up their... they're real good. They're low cost. It costs just a base account for hosting is $6 a month, or, you know, $72 a year. And that includes all your hosting space on almost any format that you can come up with, email lists, email addresses, a complete do-it-yourself control panel. It also includes smarter stats for analytics. So you don't have to embed the Google stuff on your websites. And they do a real good job with that. And they have really good tech support. That's the other thing that I'm, you know, I'll get an answer back on a ticket, depending on what it is, somewhere in between 10 minutes and an hour, rarely over an hour.
Hi, my name is Krista. I'm an alcoholic. My home group started this a few months ago. We've always had, when you join our home group, you put in your email address, and that's how we talk to each other. And a few months ago, after an area meeting, the area secretary emails the minutes to the DCMs. The DCMs then emailed all the GSRs, and the GSRs, for those who have home group lists, did it to their home groups. And we've been getting that information in real time so that when we have our group conscience, we've already had a chance to look it over and think about what our reactions might be and come well informed to our group conscience. It started on a small scale just a few months ago, and it seems to be working in the small state of Vermont.
Thank you.
Hey everyone, my name is Roy. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey Roy.
I am the web chair for Suffolk County General Service, which is part of Area 49, Southeast New York. So when I became the web chair, our main method of communication was email, but it was done pretty primitively. We just had a list of email addresses, and we would just like cut and paste the email addresses into an email client and send it out. And that proved to be pretty unmanageable because of the bounces and typos and all that kind of information. So it was a lot of work to send out an email. It would take, believe it or not, like hours to get it to work because we were subject to, like, we couldn't send out like more than 100 emails at a time with the hosting company. And we had like 400 people on our list. So it was really, you know, pretty much like not feasible to maintain that way. So I guess I'm kind of lazy. I'm always looking to figure out like an easier way and a more efficient way of doing something. So I just looked into some of the mail list services, and I decided to use MailChimp. I know that has like a bad connotation, but if you use the paid version of it, you can take out all the marketing stuff from MailChimp. So when an email goes out right now, you can't even see where it came from. There's no indication that it's from MailChimp. And that's, you know, proven to be a very effective method of communication for us. So we get people get added to the list when they register with General Service. We put that information into the area database, which is Airtable. And essentially, I can just download the people from Suffolk County right from Airtable. And I did an import. That's how I got people into the mailing list. And at the bottom of the emails it sent out is like you're receiving this email because you either provided your name to the registrar when you signed up, or you opted in via our website. So we get people either when they sign up, they provide an email address, or if they don't provide an email address on the website that we have, there's a place where you can just like enter your information. So all you have to really do is enter your email address in. You can put your name, your first name, last initial, your district, and your home group if you wanted to, but that's optional. So all they really need to do to add our, you know, to go to the mailing list is just add their name. And, you know, sending out, you know, communicating has proven to be pretty easy. I pretty much wrote up a template for our monthly reminder when we have our general service meeting. In fact, I did it on Wednesday because the general service meeting is tonight. I'm missing it because I'm here. But on Wednesday, I sent out the monthly email reminder, and it only takes me a few moments to really just customize it with, you know, what's going on for this particular, you know, I have links to the agenda, links to the previous, the minutes from the previous meeting, and it only takes me a little bit of time to do that. And it's also a self-maintaining list as well. Like, it cleans addresses that are invalid if somebody, you know, typed in the wrong information, or we had bad information in the area database. It's sort of like self-cleaning it. We'll remove them from the list. There's an easy way to unsubscribe if you wanted to unsubscribe from the list. It's at the bottom of every email. But we also have on our web page as well, we have a place where they can unsubscribe. And that's all done. So I link the WordPress site to MailChimp. And it just kind of like works, you know, pretty, you know, with the plugin, it works pretty interactively. So it's that's worked out pretty well. And we do get people that unsubscribe periodically. And it's usually after I send out one of my monthly reminders. I'm always guaranteed to have, you know, one person, you know, somebody doesn't want to get the information anymore. Maybe they moved on from, you know, they're not a general service rep anymore. They're not a DCM or whatever it might be. But another thing that I found was pretty useful. We also like host events a couple times a year. We have a Unity breakfast that we hold every March, and we have a birthday brunch that we hold for Founders Day in June. So we sell tickets on our website. And when the person buys a ticket, they put in their email address, so we can send them the receipt, the tickets, or whatever, you know, whatever it is. There's also a pretty cool little plugin with the ticketing software where you can set up a group for that event, and it will automatically, you know, populate that group. So I'll have you know, for example, I'll have like a Unity breakfast a mailing list. And, you know, when people sign up, they get added to that list. And, you know, that's a useful way of communicating with people, like, you know, checking procedures for the, you know, for the event or any, you know, last minute changes or information that, we, you know, we need to send out to all the people that purchased a ticket through the, through our website. So that's just pretty much, you know, what we've been doing in Suffolk County. And it's proven to be not a lot of work, and it's a pretty effective means of communication, I feel so.
What's the name of that ticketing service that you use?
It's called Tickera, T-I-C-K-E-R-A. So I just have to say the MailChimp is it's a paid version, so it cost us, like, I think it's, you know, you get a discount for multi-factor authentication, so it's like, I think it's $9.50 a month it ends up costing us, but it's not really a heck of a lot of money in the grand scheme of things. It's, you know, less, about $110 a year. And, you know, just, it's just, you know, very easy to maintain. And it's, you know, it's pretty, I find it to be pretty effective.
Awesome. Thanks.
Thank you.
Use the microphone, please, Lois.
So it's Roy, sorry. Hi, I'm Lois, I'm an alcoholic. I'm curious, in our area, we do have MailChimp, but I can't imagine letting, like, the other area servants using it. Are you the only one that's sending the emails, or how are you guys doing that?
Yeah, so I'm currently the person that sends out the emails, and I don't know if that's really, like, falls within the role of web servant, per se, but I'm the guy that set it up, and, you know, maybe the registrar should do that. I'm not really sure, but I basically do that for the county.
Thank you.
Karen, alcoholic. I have a question about, you mentioned Airtable, and I've heard that, and I want to know what it is. You were, yeah.
Airtable is like it's essentially a spreadsheet that's on the cloud, and that's what our area uses to maintain their registration information. So it's basically nothing really fancy database, but it's very simple to operate and use. I don't really use that per se. I'm like, I just pull the information off of that, so I'm not responsible for, like, adding information to Airtable, but it's just a repository of information that the area used to keep all the registration information.
I'm Ross, alcoholic, area 57, Oklahoma. Couple of things. MailChimp is used by our area, by our local central office, and by NAATW. You've seen the little monkey at the bottom of your emails. What I want to say about that is the NAATW uses the free version. We don't mind the little monkey. And we're under, what, a limit for... It used to be about the only limit on the free version was the 2,000, you had to have less than 2,000 addressees or audience. That's their terminology. The beginning of this year, MailChimp changed their rules and put way more restrictions on the free version. You can only have one list of addressees. Yeah, it's a lot tougher to use that. But in terms of who can send out the emails, it allows an administrator to name, like, three levels of authority. And so you could, say, allow districts to have a lower authority that didn't let them administer, but would let them, say, add addresses or mail a simple... you'd have to investigate. I haven't looked at that in depth, but there is an administrator facility that lets you assign various levels of capability to various users. And so that's it on MailChimp. As far as communicating reminders, we had a texting service that we used in Oklahoma, and before you could subscribe to this texting service, and you know, we'd send out reminders, you know, don't forget the district meeting tomorrow or the area meeting or this, that, and the other. And that was useful in terms of last minute, very short reminders. It wouldn't be useful for sending out agendas or whatnot. We dropped that because they doubled their price and took us out of the took us out of the market. But I understand it'd be worth looking at various texting services to see what's available there. That's another way to communicate.
Thank you.
Joel, alcoholic, from Area 67 over in Houston, Texas. A couple of different comments, but first one was like, so like in our area we have a postmaster. There's nothing but manage, because I did that for half a year, or for a year, half a term, and strictly just a responsibility of handling emails. I don't think it's, as long as an email system is transparent, you know, you're probably good, but there's a lot of different services out there. I know our area is heavily, very rigid when it comes to tradition, so we don't allow any branding whatsoever on our emails or websites or anything like that. So there can't be chimps or anything like that, anything that we do. Somebody had mentioned earlier about the unsubscribe, and that, you know, some services require some code, but that's a really good feature. But one of the things that was interesting that y'all mentioned is the whole communication process. That'd be interesting to get some more feedback in between now and like next year, and getting information from the area down to the districts, down to the GSRs, because I know I've had that topic come up a couple of times where we need to start getting best practices in place and maybe even working on the policies and procedures where people have responsibilities to keep email lists up to date, and kind of almost somebody had mentioned about putting a passing around a tablet and saying, you subscribe to this or else, you know, because you need to keep your people up to date, because we're all communicating electronically. And how are you supposed to keep up to date if you're missing, you know, district meetings and things like that? We're slowly starting to work that into our policies and procedures, because it's just, you just got to keep people up to date. We're not getting the participation of the GSRs as much. In Houston, we run over 1,000 meetings in the Houston area. So it's insane that we're trying to get people in communication out. So email is just detrimental. We default to that whole, well, the CETA website, you can subscribe to our CETA announce, but people don't do that. So you got to almost like put a tablet in front of them, make them spell out their email, and because even my handwriting is atrocious, and get them to subscribe to these things, because it's just, you know, they're not going to get information otherwise. And then lastly is the, I don't know how other people's areas are. Our area is very, very strict, and we are very limited to using our CETA resources for CETA purposes, period. So we don't have the ability to go anything outside of that little mini triangle. So if anything happens, like a barbecue, and it's at a recovery center, not allowed. If there's a death in within AA, not allowed. We can't use our resources in that little outside of the little triangle, upside down triangle. But so I just, some thoughts and ideas there. So.
Thanks.
I'm Lois. I'm an alcoholic. Peter's texting me from up there, telling me to say what we do in our area. In our area, we have adopted the G Suite, and one of the things that we did was to use Google Groups for mailing lists, which worked okay, but it doesn't get to actually the problem that you were talking about, which is more down to the GSR level. Because in our area, we figure we own to the DCM, but after that, the DCM owns you know, into the GSRs and the GSRs onto the group. So we haven't gotten that far down there yet. I know Roy's area has done all kinds of cool stuff with what they've set up, but you guys also have Fred. We don't have Fred. That's what we do. We've been using Google Groups. This didn't make it as a topic, but there's all kinds of groups that are using Facebook for this too. I mean, it's not emailing, but it's keeping people up to date.
Thank you.
And I guess just to kind of jump in here, for our area, the GSR group themselves want to keep in touch outside of area assemblies to just kind of share info and what they've been up to, not just technology-wise, but other stuff-wise, if that makes sense. So they actually started on their own a Slack channel because they had been coming to us, and we had said, you know, we've got this Google group that you guys are in that nobody really uses. And one of the GSRs was like, let's get Slack. And it's like, duh, why didn't we think of that? Because we use Slack for our tech committee, but it just never really crossed our mind to use it to show other people light, I guess, so to speak. So that's something that we're going to be implementing shortly that we haven't yet. And I'm sure that'll come with a fun workload for me and my fellow technology people making a face in the back there. Just getting GSRs of all sorts of technical background involved with Slack. I know it's cool, and I know you can use it on your phone and as well as all on your computer. That's something too that we're looking at and going to implement soon.
Yeah, Karen Alcoholic, I'm just curious, and maybe it's just characteristic of my area, but how do you sell that to the GSRs? I would literally have to hold the hand of a GSR, sit down with them, talk about Slack, get them set up, and then pray that they used it. How do you sell it? I mean, there's got to be, you know, some excitement. There's something. If you don't have it, then you lose. You don't get invited.
I think for us, part of that is just educating the GSRs. Not every GSR in the world comes to every area assembly. But we do have sort of, I guess, the dedicated core group that does come. And they're the ones that have requested for that way to keep in touch and share information outside of assemblies. Because our assemblies are quarterly, so it's once every 3 months they see each other. Because we're spread out. I mean, sure, they might be in St. Louis or whatever, and some aren't. But then it's, you know, they requested a way, and honestly, we didn't give them anything that they liked, so they kind of came up with Slack, and we're sort of going to rely on the buy-in of the group members there to help us sell it, so to speak. And be like, you guys asked for something, this is what you got. We'll help you use it because at the next area assembly, we're going to, at the GSR meeting, our area chair asked if someone from the tech committee could be there to give a 10, 15 minute, this is Slack and this is what it does, little presentation so that we can kind of get those that don't know, get them in the know and show them like, hey, there's this tool. You know, you can use it on your laptop, you can use it on your phone, and you can, I mean, yes, you can do that with email as well, but Slack is like one sentence, boom, and you can have all sorts of conversations, characterized, channels, tagged, all that fun stuff. So it's just a matter of, getting the members that are already bought in to help the others buy in.
You're an alcoholic, and this is kind of silly, but I just remembered that the way I got on Slack was 2 years ago, Lois sat down and held my hand and loaded Slack on my phone, and I didn't use it again until this time, you know, 2 years later. But
Animal Bliss Alcoholic. I haven't done this yet, but I was considering it, and I was wondering if anyone had any experience with it. So if you have a WordPress site, I use the news and announcements page is what I call it, but it's a blog page basically, and I post updates on there of events that don't really fit in as regular events or such. But, I mean, people can subscribe to that with their email address. You can add a widget on it. So people could enter their own email address and get any updates from there of any events or things that you wanted to post that information out to. So I don't know if anyone had any experience with that.
Yeah, I know I forget that WordPress is like a blog site first and foremost, especially because I don't have any set IT training. So it's kind of the thing that was put in front of me, and they're like, all right, we got all these widgets and we got these themes to make it look this pretty. But then it's, you know, WordPress. It's like when you make a new site, it's a blog. So yeah, using it that way, I haven't, but that's a good idea. Great way to use it.
Hi, Glenn Alcoholic, North Florida Area 14, and I don't see Vicki. Our web chair is here in a different session, I guess. So I guess I get to speak a little bit. Past delegate, panel 65, past registrar, past webmaster, back in the day, took me every bit of the 2 years of my term to sell the area on emailing minutes, because that was really spooky and scary and technology, and I have a more mature membership, I guess, somewhat in Florida. But we were successful, right? And it saved the area. Wow, that was 2004. So if I was to add up the $1,000 to $2,000 per quarter that the mailing used to cost us, that's a lot of big books. So I'm curious on one thing about the Slack. So that wouldn't be my – I don't wear a hat anymore, which is kind of nice, so I wouldn't have to try to – but I can imagine folks saying, well, this conversation that might be – so is how does that get moderated? To stay on topic of the area business versus just fellowship talk versus something completely outside that scope?
As far as moderation of Slack goes, I'm not an expert in this by any means. This is just the way I understand it as a normal user with some experience. Caveats. There can be, I guess, admin roles set up I don't know how to say what I'm trying to say. But basically, if you need to like delete something, I think people can have that power to get in there if it gets way off the rails. And I think to even like boot people if it comes to that. Mm-hmm. That being said, I've never seen that in the Slack that I've been a part of. I use Slack in the workplace, and when they let me go, they got me out of the Slack channel. So I know it's possible. But as far as keeping things on topic, Slack has – are you in the Slack for the NAATW?
Not yet.
That's fine. That's fine. There's different channels, so mm-hmm. It's set up. Like there's general discussion. I'm just using the NAATW one as an example. There's general discussion. There's the 2019 report. I forget the rest of the topics, but it's broken down by topic.
Right.
And then as you're discussing in the topic, you sort of have the discussion for that topic in that topic. That makes sense. And if something, I guess, gets off track, that could be someone that comes in and says, hey, let's make a new channel, because you can just pop up a new channel whenever you want. Or say the 2018 NAATW channels have probably been sunsetted for the 2019 ones. So... in our area, we had a website redesign. That channel was very active when we were discussing the redesign, but now that that project is completed and the redesign's live, that channel's archived, deleted, not active, however you want to phrase that. But I guess it's up to someone with that know-how and experience to get in there and moderate. So yes, there is a way to do that, and I don't have a lot of experience other than that rambling right there.
I was more curious. I know we get kind of in the weeds here with technology, but more just at the policy level. Like, our area is very clear on the purpose of the area. And it's not a fellowship. It's a general service structure, right? So off topic becomes quite quickly like we're not here to provide just a chat session to talk about your day sort of thing. So I was just wondering if that came up yet, as this sounds like this is an area approved tool.
That's a great point, and I no, I get exactly what you're saying.
And that doesn't leave this room if it hasn't or shouldn't.
Except on the recording that we're all going to pass around back home. but no, I see what you're saying, and in our area technology Slack, we do have a random discussion thing where, like, hey, I'm done with probation. Hey, I got a new job. Hey, I'm moving. Hey, I just had a kid.
Right.
And you know, that's one channel where it's kind of personal, and, like, the 20 other ones are all business. So I guess it is sort of balancing that line between, like, work, service discussions, and that sort of personal discussion with someone that I might not necessarily see all the time, where maybe if I have their phone number, that's a better way to get a hold, or even the private messaging on there. I mean, it's, I guess that's the thing where if you see someone posting in the business talk about kitten pictures or whatever, you kind of got to rein them in. But that's something good to think about. Yeah.
Thank you.
My name is Bruce, and I'm definitely an alcoholic. I'm on the computer committee for Area 44, which is in northern New Jersey. One thing I'm not clear on the discussion, is this communication with area service level people or everybody in individual groups?
Yes. The idea was to figure out the best way to, I guess, disseminate information to the groups, to average members, to anybody and everybody, and the best way to kind of do that.
Okay, and one reason I ask that is some of the groups I'm in, people are pretty much against having their email for a group. They just don't want that. Some groups do it okay, and then there's some work that has to be done at each group to maintain those, and as pointed out, you get a lot of bounces and people move around. And if it's just a distribution list, people get junk they don't want. So I find that one not very effective from my perspective. Now, in my area, we're rolling out Office 365 on that, and I have some more things to say on that tomorrow. And it addresses a lot of the stuff that was mentioned. There are Office 365 groups that can include specific recipients. You can create one for, I have one created for the entire SharePoint community, 500 and some odd people, with just one email that goes out on that. You can break it down to area officers, all ACMs, things like that. You can go to GSRs. Now, coupled with email, they can also create their own Yammer groups. So GSRs can do their own. I know some districts are going to do, they do a day of sharing, so they have their own channel just for that. So it creates some collaboration there. So there's a lot of different levels of that kind of communication with this tool, and it can be very broad or it can be very focused. Now, the hand-holding part, because there's been a lot of resistance so far, because in order to do this, to be part of this community, they have to have an ID, a domain ID. They can't use their own Gmail accounts anymore. And people are not really happy about that. And a lot of them just don't know what to do with it. I've sent this information out to get an ID and password, and there's usually no response because they haven't seen it. So I'm taking this system on the road. And right now, through the next 3 months, I'm going to visit about 15 different districts and give them a hands-on perspective on the possibilities of how they can use it. And all I'm really hoping now is to get them to think about what they can do with this. Now they've seen something. It's kind of like, oh, they've seen a car. Maybe I can go somewhere. So I'm just really trying to set up ideas at this point. And there's a lot of effort to go with that, too. So it's not necessarily fantasy. And it's just one way that we can address a lot of this in Area 44. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
My name is Eddie Alcoholic. So I'm the webmaster for Area 72, Western Washington. So one of the things we do, and it's not the most perfect, we're actually looking for a better way right now, but I mean, we are very email heavy as well. We have a pretty large email system. We have email addresses for all of our area level officers, our DCMs, alternate DCMs, and even down to the district level chair positions. So the district corrections, district webmasters, things like that. So we have area email addresses for all of them. And we manage all of that. But one of the things we also did is with that, we set up distribution lists on that also. So there's one email address that somebody can shoot an email to that might go to all of the webmaster email addresses or all of the DCM email addresses by just shooting an email address to one. We're only about a rotation and a half into those actually being into effect. So there's still lots of them that people don't use because people are still resistant to it. But one of the things we did is we asked them to, if you don't want another email address on your phone, which many of us don't, I mean, I have 5 of them on my phone right now. They're a pain in the ass to manage. Is we just asked them to go in there and forward that email to another email address. That was one of our requests that they did because, I mean, we currently use Gmail or the Google Suite. And then what we've also done is we set up everybody has their own drive, but we set up team drives. So team drives is a shared drive as well. And so we set up ones for each district. We set up ones for each committee. We set up ones for the area officers. And so that can be a spot where, and then we even set up one for like all of the district level corrections. So there's multi-levels of these different drives where people can share information, and it can also even act as a pseudo repository for minutes, for flyers, for a whole bunch of other stuff where it doesn't get lost going from rotation to rotation. We also, somebody spoke to it about having a rigid policy about posting events. Our area is also that way, very, very rigid policy about posting events. No roundups, no sobriety countdowns, no gratitude banquets. We don't post any of that stuff. Whether I agree or don't agree with it, that's different. But in one of our responses to that is in our printed newsletters that also gets emailed out, we don't have that restriction. And they can send anything they want to our newsletter, and we'll put a flyer in our newsletter. And our newsletters do get mailed out to every GSR in our area. And as well as they go out to our email distribution list as well. But we're even with that type of stuff, we're still having issues with communication. I mean, we have 3,500 meetings in Western Washington that we manage. And so, I mean, we usually have about 900 GSRs. So we have, I mean, a lot of them. And so we still have big communication issues with information not getting out to all of them. And so we're looking at MailChimp. It's one of the things that we're about this close to implementing, and where people can send basically whatever they want in, and then people can self sign up for the email service. But it's always going to be a moving target because as soon as we get a handle on and we might be getting a little bit ahead of the curve, something else is going to come up, and then we're going to be just the way AA works in general, and then all of a sudden we'll be a mile back. So the work will never be done. I mean, it's just, but that's why it's vital for us to, I mean, events like this just helps make that communication so much quicker for that and just so much easier. I know if I tried doing Slack in my area, I mean, ones in Seattle might do it, but ones that are in outlying areas, which most of the rest of Western Washington is outlying areas, they're going to look at me like a monkey looking at a map. I mean, it's never going to get used and stuff like that. So, I mean, but I'm going to be pushing out the district level glide apps. I'm going to be starting to put together some presentations And that's something that those district people, they can manage completely on their own, and it's already done through Google, and they can just do a sheet, and they can put whatever they want in it, and it's on there.
Ross, alcoholic. Couple of things. First one's a little bit off topic, probably. We've talked about being able to unsubscribe emails, but that same law, the CAN-SPAM law, says that they must also sign up before they get put on any mass mailing list. We have taken the tack that if you agree to be a DCM or a GSR or a committee chair or something, you are also agreeing to receive communication from the office, the AA office. And so we're not asking them to sign a separate piece of paper that, yes, or go sign up saying officially, yes, I want to get emails from so-and-so. Is it anybody else? Oh, there are a couple of people in the area that argue violently, no, they need a separate sign-up. But certainly in the days of paper mail, if I became a GSR, I expect to get paper mail from... So surely by signing up to be a DCM, you're agreeing to get communications from the area. And so the question, has anybody else even thought of that idea, of that question? And the second thing is a similar, we're on the verge or about to decide, we used to send out most of our newsletters email, but there was a list of 200 or 300 people that got paper copies. We're about to do away with the paper copies. We may keep if you request a paper copy, we'll give you a 2-year free subscription and send out however many paper copies that entails. But newsletters, are they mostly going out email, or are you sending out bunches of them? And I guess that's in the field of communications with the district or area. But
yeah, thank you. And I think that's sort of the way the world's going in general, is getting away from mailed newsletters and going more towards that digital distribution. Our area newsletter is quarterly, so it comes out for the area assembly, and I know they still print off a huge stack of them sitting there at the assemblies. But it's also available on our website. So it's, you know, there's a lot of different ways to get that. And I know that, you know, just the world in general, we're moving more paperless nowadays. That's just kind of the way it's going. So, yeah.
Yeah, Terry Algolic, Area 29, Technology Chair. And so I just want to jump on the newsletter bandwagon. So we completely did away with our paper newsletters last year. And so we still have a newsletter committee, and they put together something about once a quarter and post it on the website, which I kind of find ironic, because what's the difference between, anyway, newsletter and a website? But but we've had a couple of folks ask that if they wanted to print that out and take it to their meetings or something for, you know, because there's always a digital divide. Folks out there that don't have access to the internet that we'd still like to get that word to. So we've made available, you know, just you could print anything off the internet. We just made it a little bit easier for folks to be able to hit print, and then they can print it on demand however they want to. But I think what I'm trying to advocate for us is to go to more of like a blog thing than a newsletter. We're still stuck in this quarterly newsletter thing. But if you just think about it as a blog, you can just post whenever you want to, you know. So quarterly newsletter, blog is ubiquitous. So, yeah, but I like the idea of being able to have capability for folks to be able to print on demand, because there's always going to be a need for someone out there who doesn't get on the internet to still get communication and send the word out. But we were spending $8,000 a year mailing out 8 newsletters, which was just a huge waste of money.
Thank you. And we're running out of time. This will be the last one here.
Hi, my name is Fred. I'm an alcoholic. I'm with the Southeastern Pennsylvania Intergroup Association. We cover 5 counties in and around Philadelphia. And our intergroup office makes about 28,000 copies per year of various flyers. We do have a newsletter. You can sign up. It'll get emailed to you. You can download a PDF and print it. But with our 5 counties, we just send out a stack of paper. The one thing that we have found, somebody else just said the digital divide, but it's also digital laziness. If we get our intergroup reps the flyers and we can put it on a clipboard and pass it around during the meeting, we find we're a lot more effective in getting the word out on a lot of the events as opposed to telling people to go to our website. And so I kind of think paper's not going to die.
All right. I'm sorry, we're out of time here. But thank you, everybody, for this awesome discussion. I got a lot out of this, and I hope you did too. So with that, I thank people. The next session in this room, the next sessions are at 8:45. The one in this room is the anonymity and social media. The rest of them are on the app that is updated. So check it out, and thank you very much, everybody.